did. And so again, it's just very much the starting point of any kind of future development in the park. So again, from my standpoint, just thank you guys for your input. The comments have been really great to read. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that update. And let me take a step back. I think I did the introduction of the team, but I forgot to introduce myself. So my name is Tim Franquist. I'm the deputy director here at Arizona State Parks and Trails. And so probably should have started off with that, but we'll jump in right there. So again, Steve, thank you for that. I think it's really important to understand kind of, as you said, we're in kind of the real first phases. Things will change and should change. And that's going to be informed a lot by, I think, the feedback we get here today. So thank you, Steve. And what we'll do is we'll kind of go into just a quick overview of the park here. I think what folks should be able to see on their screens is just a general map of the project. As Steve was describing, you know, some of the amenities that will be there. These are some of the general layouts. They may change a little bit or significantly depending on, you know, the designs or funding. These are long-term plans. And so just like any project, there's gotta be budget that goes with that. And of course there's a process behind that. So we can see here is just at least a pretty good general outline of what we're looking at in terms of the master plan. Again, here are some of the existing features today as the park exists. Won't spend too much time on that. I imagine most folks are pretty familiar with it. And we'll just quickly go through a few of these. I won't read this slide. We've made this available for folks on the internet. And if anybody else wants it, you know, certainly after, please do contact us. We can get a copy of this to you as well. But again, just on a high level, we're going to be looking at a monument entry signage to change that up at the beginning of the park. We have some erosion along the banks due to some flooding and whatnot. And so we'll be looking at some erosion control methods, potentially some permitting that'll go with that. But again, just try to stabilize some of the banks that are along the main road. A contact station and a gift shop. I was about to say it was dated till I realized I'm older than the gift shop. So we'll just say it's at a spot where we're going to switch it up and make it a little bit more usable. And so there'll be some architectural design that goes along with that, with the gift shop and contact station. Upgraded restrooms in the campground A. Again, just things are getting a little bit ready for a new bathroom situation. And then campsites, I think Steve alluded to some potential campsites there. Some non-electrical campsites, I think that's important to mention. These will be, you know, tent sites or non-electrical for maybe small campers. Replace existing vault toilets. Obviously, these are really important amenities and things that we know are really important to the folks at visitor parks. Clean and important facilities are certainly that. And then living quarters and maintenance facility for park staff. So that'll be part of the long-term planning for the park. So, and then a multi-use paved trail. I think this is something that's really important. It allows a multiple access, potentially bikes and whatnot, but gives access to the park through a paved trail. And then the tribute trail. Again, some additional trails and upgrades to trails there as well. So. And then the Animal Canyon Trail, we can see here what's considered a social trail. Again, we're just trying to leverage the beauty of the park and upgrade some of these trails over time. And then the big 50-year loop trail, this one connects into a lot of other ones and you know, is planned to be potentially part of a develop of, I'll read that piece because I think that one was important. The intent will be to develop this trail is part of a U.S. Forest Service trail system, which is really nice to be able to tap into other resources in the area. And so with that, I think that's just a high level overview. Again, those slides are available online, but if folks can't access them or couldn't access them, please do reach out and we'll make sure you do get those copies. So with that, we'll move kind of into the public comment phase, which I think really is the real reason we're here today. So let me just kind of start off by making a statement here. And then I believe we have two folks that have signed up on that, or excuse me, I'm sorry, there's comments we received online. So we'll quickly go through those and then we'll move to the folks that have signed up to speak. So thank you everyone who took the time to submit feedback during our public comment period. We received more than 60 comments, many multiple comments, which is good. We'll go over those comments now and provide our responses. We will invite those who have registered to speak to provide additional comments on the plan or in our presentation. As we move through this process, more opportunities for public feedback will definitely be offered. And we can't stress that enough. Steve said it very well. First part of the phase, and this is only the first bite at the apple. We'll have many, many more. So with that, let me kind of move to what we saw from the written public comments. The first one we'll start off is I believe we got a lot of general support, and we appreciate that. Folks look generally supportive of what we're doing, which is certainly encouraging us. That means we're certainly on the right plan. And so we thank everybody for those kind comments that we received there. No more development. Likewise, we received a lot of comments opposing any new development or changes. These will be added to the public record for the project. Any development of the park will have public, agency, and environmental concerns incorporated in decisions and plan moving forward. Of course, that's always something we run into anytime we're developing any kind of pristine area or even developed areas. Is it in good condition as is? I think what we saw with the some of the amenities that are going on there, it's not that we don't want to overdevelop the park, but some of the stuff is getting a little bit aged or needs just updated. So again, I don't think we're looking to expand in any ways that impact negatively the trails or the scenery. Just really try to give it a little bit of a facelift. Biking trails, I think we did get several of those. Add more trails, add more multi-use trails for cyclists, equestrians, and hikers. We are definitely considering that. Trail areas have been identified in the plan. I think we saw at least three going through the slide deck there. So we hear you loud and clear on that, and that's something that will absolutely be incorporated in the plan. Trail improvements and upkeep, adding Alamo Trail. The general comments there are kind of easier access for different age groups, accessibility for all. Don't add anything that disrupts the natural environment. Keep or make an official Alamo Trail. Repair access to trails. So I think generally, I think it's just the feedback there. What we'd say is we evaluate park resources, establish low or minimal impact for park resources. That fits well within the Arizona State Parks mission. We are here to preserve and conserve natural resources. So again, any amenity development is not meant to negatively impact nature or certainly view sheds and things like that. Additional signage has been identified in the master plan. Alamo Trail is included on page 13 in the master plan development. I think we showed a brief slide there. Funding for maintenance and development is an ongoing process. We work with our grant staff to pursue funding opportunities related to improvements. I think, again, that's a point I'll continue to make. There's a long-term plan, but it also requires budget. It's come through grants and a state budgeting process. So things will be prioritized by the importance of the amenities. And then obviously when we get funds to do those projects. And then lastly, for overcrowding, we continue to monitor capacity for the new COVID-19 protocols, environmental impacts, and public safety. So while the COVID issue is, you know, certainly hopefully temporary, we've had to put a lot of new protocols in place to make sure that folks were spaced out and we were doing the social distancing. And again, that's a huge testament to Steve Hawes and his team and all our park managers and staff that have really been able to keep the parks open, but do that safely. At some time, and hopefully in the future here, we can start returning back. But again, what we certainly wouldn't want to see is overcrowded trails and so, or impacts negatively to the environment or the natural resource. So again, spacing will always be something that's on our mind, whether it's COVID related or just protection of the natural resource. Our next piece here is building upgrades, restrooms, visitor centers. I think generally what we saw is need more restrooms, need to replace the vault toilets, need additional parking, improve picnic areas and groundskeeping. So here we agree restrooms are something we want to have improved and are included in the master development plan. I think we saw some replacements of the vaulted toilets. We've also included expanding the front office's visitor center. Signage on the trails will be reviewed and upgraded for safety as needed. Some signage is already identified in the master plan. So again, something we absolutely agree with. We want folks to be able to go on those trails and then safely find their way through the park. Same with the amenities and the restrooms. We want to make sure those are updated and cleaned regularly. Our next category here is camping. So the general comments here are separate tent from RV camping, include more backcountry or low impact camping, add RV sites and sites near trees, and add sewer and 50 amp RV sites. Here, I think we would just generally comment, yes, we agree with that. The separation of different types of overnight camping is a good idea. Obviously, a lot of campers that are tent camping versus RV camping, they prefer different things. And so we respect the fact that they may not want to be directly next to each other. The backcountry area is designated to minimally impact the environment and wildlife. Additional RV sites are proposed in the master plan development to help ease crowding in other areas and offer more opportunities to those who want to visit. So something will certainly be contemplated as part of this master plan. Camping for locals, I think we did get a couple comments. Hold aside Arizona residents for late reservations. Don't allow reservations a year in advance. The current system is a place of fair and equal for everyone that wants to visit Arizona State Parks. What a lot of folks don't realize is we are not funded by tax dollars. We are self-funded. For better or worse, we do need to keep our parks open for every visitor, international, national, and certainly we want to encourage our local visitors, but it's important that we continue to bring revenue. And this pays for our improvements and repairs, pays for our staff. And so again, while we're not revenue generated, we do have to be cognizant of the fact that we are self-funded. This is how we develop these parks and keep these parks clean and safe. Educational opportunities, we receive comments there. Conduct outreach with schools and other organizations at interpretive centers near the ruins. We have several programs to reach out to schools and school groups throughout Arizona and other programs that reach children. We agree, we want to see this more through our state parks, more interpretive programs. We know a lot of folks that come to the park, but it really can be enhanced by someone that knows something about it and explaining you what a beautiful tree is or what the ruins actually mean to a culture. And so we would 100% agree with that. We want to see this more certainly in Catalina and in other parks across our system. A equestrian area, add equestrian trails linking the equestrian center to the 50-year trail. Consider safety of horses near equestrian center. Any concerns for safety of horses and hikers and bikers will be part of the approval process for the final plan. This is certainly key to our operations and for our visitors, that they come in safe, they leave safe. Obviously, we want to make sure that if horses and bikers and hikers are all on the same trails, that we're doing that safely, but that everybody has room to move and that that we all share that same experience, but we do that safely. Fire damage, certainly that's something on a lot of people's mind after the summer. Repair for fire damage and prevent flooding, I think is the key comment that we received there. Improvements to the road, which have helped mitigate flooding, are included in the plan. Our park manager can also address any fire specific issues when we get to that comment section, but I know that's something on a lot of people's mind. There was a severe fire down there. And again, thanks to Steve Hawes, because I know that was a staging area for a lot of the firefighters during that time. And so we appreciate all he did to accommodate our firefighters who had put themselves in harm's way to make sure that that fire was out for both the community and the park. Fees, consider senior discounts is the general comment. Consider a license plate discount and then support higher fees for paying improvements. We understand that the cost of public for recreation on parks should be as user-friendly as possible. Different discount programs or Arizona-specific entrance programs like our annual pass are discussed on a board level and reviewed with our executive leadership team. So we know every penny counts in some folks' budget, really in everybody's budget. And so, certainly senior discounts, veteran discounts, things are, we discuss that a lot. Again, we want everybody to be able to enjoy our parks, but we don't want to break the bank in doing that. So that's something we discuss with our board leadership team, as we said, and certainly be part of these discussions as well. Internet and Wi-Fi connection, need better connectivity through the park. This is something that we're exploring on a system-wide basis, and it's important to many of our parks to have increased connectivity. We know this is a big one for all of us that hike. A lot of what we see today on our navigation tools are apps on our phones. Some are offline tools that we can connect through GPS. Others are connected through the internet. So we know this is really important to a lot of folks that we have this connectivity. If you're a parent like myself and you have a little one, sometimes just even having a screen to keep our little ones entertained is important as well. So whether you're trying to navigate or you just need a little extra connectivity, we totally hear this. This is something park-wide that we're looking, park system-wide that we're looking at. We know this is something that we really need to improve over time. Renewable resources for buildings and energy use. So solar, skylights. The general comment is use zero energy construction, renewable energy sources. Our response here is alternative low energy systems and products are very, very important to us. We can't stress that enough. As part of our mission to conserve natural resources, we also believe in that kind of sustainability mantra, or just having a very low impact where we can. We think it's the right thing to do. And so we do have some areas of the park systems that have some solar, others that we're discussing, you know, how do we leverage that? And we're constantly in contact with partners out there to say, hey, is there programs that we can bring to the parks, either charging stations or solar or anything that could bring us or make us a little bit more low impact. So we hear that one loud and clear. We're definitely working on that. The timing of the project. Please have this done as soon as sooner than 10 years. Fund it. We agree. This is an extremely preliminary look at the proposed changes of the plan. This public feedback will help us as we move into the next stage. So it's important to know that this is a long-term planning. So you are seeing a lot of stuff that may come in the first couple of years and others that may come in the latter part of that decade. So, you know, we would love to do everything today that we have planned. We'd love to take everybody's idea, but, you know, the brutal reality is obviously all that is driven by budget and resources at the state parks. And so as we develop the priorities, as we get things approved, then obviously the next big step is, okay, can we get that funded? And we have a great grants team here. We do have the ability to take donations as well. So if folks want to donate, they certainly can do direct donations through our online portal. You can find that on our website. So anybody looking to do that, we could certainly help. And then again, as we work through our state budget process, that'll be part of how we prioritize and move forward in both budget and schedule. Accessibility include areas for those with disabilities or limited mobility. Accessibility is very important to us, and we will consider this in any future designs. I can't stress that enough. I think, you know, I commend a lot of Assistant Director Darla Cook. She has brought a significant attention to that area. It's the right thing to do. Again, we want these parks to be enjoyed by everybody with all different accessibilities. And so again, this is definitely forefront on our minds, and we take that comment quite seriously, and we will be working to address that in this master plan. Adding staff, need more staff to help with additional customers or to assist in other areas of the park or to include an educational programming. Adding staff is important across the board for Arizona State Parks as we continue to see increases in visitation. We consider minor staffing levels. Again, at the end of the day, we need folks in the parks to keep them safe, to keep them clean. We hear the staffing issue. As we discussed earlier, the educational programs is something that's very much on our mind. We want to see more interpretive programs, but obviously at some point we need more people to do that. What I would also encourage volunteers, we really rely a lot on our volunteers. We have just such an incredible cross-section of people out there with education and experience. And so the parks can always use experienced or any kind of volunteers for that matter. So again, it could be staff, but it could be, you know, kind of a call to the public. If you have that interest, please do reach out to Steve Haas and see how you might be able to volunteer and take on maybe an interpretive program. Desert Springs property. Any new property acquisitions are based on budget and availability and approvals. This is always a big one. There's a lot of beautiful opportunities in Arizona to bring in part of the park system. The brutal reality is we certainly can't afford every piece of it, but you know, we're always on the hunt for the things that are within our budget or something we can plan in the future. So again, if people have property they want to donate, you know, certainly you can reach out. That's an option as well. Or, you know, we keep the discussions going as we find, you know, adjacent properties or properties that, you know, fit within the park's mission. So, but again, budget plays a big, big part of that. And then the last thing, I think we just mentioned volunteering, more roles for volunteers. We highly value our volunteers at state parks. We encourage you to contact parks and our volunteer manager, Catherine Richards, find out more, you can get involved. We can't stress that enough as well. The park is truly a community area. We staff it, but again, volunteers are our lifeblood. We really rely a lot on volunteers for a lot of different things, from helping on landscape and maintenance to doing our interpretive program. So again, we absolutely appreciate and love our volunteers. We could use as many as we can get. So if you are interested, please do reach out to Catherine Richards or Steve Haas. We would love to talk to you and see how we bring you on board to help with this. So with that, that's the end of the comments that we received in writing. And so with that, I believe we have a couple of folks that have signed up to talk, and so we'll turn them over to them. I believe there were Patty, I believe, is the first one. And so we'll turn it over to you, Patty, to make your comment. Or raise your hand, and I think we can unmute you.
How's that? Can you hear me? Okay. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Thanks to Gigi for letting me know that this was going on. And I would also encourage you to reach out to the many partners that are interested in the park. For example, the Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection that monitors wildlife corridors in the park, as well as equestrian biking groups, that kind of thing. So that they can comment on this too. I just wanted to reiterate that I think this plan is really good. There's a lot of positive stuff, things that, you know, probably the volunteers like myself have talked about for a long time, such as a visitor center and the need for increased staffing. I mean, Steve and the staff at Catalina State Park, they do amazing work, you know, at their staffing level, and the volunteers are great, but, you know, if there were more rangers, they would get to do more of the fun stuff like patrols and education and like all the stuff that you want to do if you're a ranger and not just, you know, take care of kind of the stuff that needs to be done. So I think it would be really important to try to find funding for staffing. The Desert Springs property, as kind of an activist in the Oro Valley area, this comes up, it seems like about every 4 years, and we have to have all sorts of hearings. And I think the last development that was suggested for Desert Springs would have really ruined the scenic qualities of the park for a lot of people. And I think it's really important that that get pursued. I really like the idea that you're focusing on the natural resources and not trying to make Catalina State Park a city park. I guess the main thing I'm concerned about, and maybe highly concerned about with this plan, is number one, the active recreation area that's designated for sort of the west and northern. And from the plan, I can't really understand what that means. You know, I'm thinking rodeos, dirt tracks, you know, I don't know what active soccer fields, I don't know what active recreation is. And it looked like it was proposed as a way to maybe bring in more revenue, but there are a lot of uses that I think would not work in Catalina State Park. So I'd like to know a little bit more about what you're thinking about for active recreation. And I was also a little disturbed about the statement that in the backcountry zone, this would be for a small group of people that would be willing to pay a premium fee to access the backcountry. And again, I have no idea where that's going or what that statement means. I guess, I don't know how far I am in my 2 minutes, probably over, but any additional entrance from Oracle Road or trail access from Oracle Road, I'd like to make sure that it doesn't affect the wildlife corridors by bringing extra people through the CDO wash in an insensitive way, or giving an extra avenue for invasive plant species to access the park, because that's my big thing. And one last thing is I'd like to see a plan, maybe not this plan, address the uncontrolled, this is my opinion, uncontrolled equestrian use of the park. We are an urban park. We're not the Wild West in the middle of nowhere. And I do a lot of surveys for invasive plants in the park, so I do get off trail and look in a lot of areas. Every place I go in the park, I see hoof prints. And this leads to erosion problems, natural resource problems, maybe archaeology problems. So I guess I want to close with that. And I will submit these comments in a written form if you tell me how to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Patty, thank you for that. And I'll turn it over to Steve in just a second. I think he could probably address the what the active recreation area is. I do want to hit upon the revenue piece as it kind of relates to that. So we always have to talk a little bit about budget and certainly revenues, but I think it's really important to understand that our mission really is to conserve natural resources. So while we have to be somewhat cognizant through fees and some other stuff, we are a public entity. We're here for the enjoyment of the public. Revenues are there just to keep us supported, but we don't get giant bonuses. We're not, you know, Disneyland where CEOs get extra money for this. We need just enough money to keep the park updated, keep our people paid. And so any amenities that we do are not revenue generated. We do hope to, you know, get some kind of returns on investment just so we can afford to do this stuff. But our mission is not to see how far we can run up our revenues. It's what we're discussing today. How do we get the amenities in the park that are useful to the local community? What do you guys want to see in terms of outdoor recreation? So again, there's always a budget and revenue aspect from it's just a pure survivability standpoint, but we don't sit out in part of our master plan on any level for any park, say, okay, how much money can we make off this park? It's just one, it's not the right thing to do, but two, it's just not part of our mission. It's really here for the enjoyment of the public and what can we put in the park to make that more enjoyable. So with that, Steve, if you know what the active recreation area is, do you want to speak to that real quick just to kind of give an idea of what that meant?
Yeah, thanks, Patty, for your comments. Those were great. You know, the northern end of the park is, we have difficulty with control access. Obviously, our main control station is here on this side. And so we've always had issues on the north end. And so that's part of the master development plan, trying to come up with some way to be able to control access from basically the town of Catalina and you know, off of Golden Ranch Road in that area. And so what that looks like, you know, I don't know, we've thrown some ideas around, but that's where a lot of the equestrian people are coming in from that side. And so that's always been a issue or a struggle with us. A lot of the social trails, as you know, that are out there. And so that's really the intent of some kind of control access on the north end of the park.
Great, Steve, thank you for that update. And I think we have one more signed up. If Cindy is there, if she could raise her hand, we can unmute you and you can make your 2 minute comment. It doesn't look like Cindy's there. So with that, I think we've gotten through that portion. And again, thank you, Patty, for your comments, duly noted and I think well said. So we appreciate that. And again, for the public that did write written comments, again, thank you so much. This is truly what we're out there to do, is get your feedback back, do that in a meaningful way, and then incorporate that in any future plan. So again, we appreciate all the feedback and support and look forward to moving forward in this process. Steve, I think very well said in the beginning, first of many opportunities, it's a fluid process. So we hope that you do participate and come back and give us, you know, some feedback in the future. So with that, please have a wonderful rest of the night. Please be safe out there. We know there's a lot going on, so please be safe and healthy, and we will see everybody on the next public meeting call. Thank you.